Hello, and welcome to Season 8 of the Canadian Women's Foundation podcast, All Right, Now What? Gender equality and justice, where we live, work, learn, and play, is the goal, and it makes life better for everyone. All Right, Now What? Remains a space where we ask, how do we move from awareness to action? But this season, we're also shifting the story. Through powerful storytelling, expert interviews, and bold conversations, we'll explore what true equity can look like, especially for those who are too often silenced or overlooked. The work of the Canadian Women's Foundation and its partners takes place on traditional First Nations, Inuit, and Métis territories. We are grateful for the opportunity to meet and work on this land. However, we recognize that land acknowledgements are not enough. We need to pursue truth, reconciliation, decolonization, and allyship in an ongoing effort to make right with all our relations.
Hi, I'm Rachel Leslie from the Canadian Women's Foundation. Today we're joined by Olivia Ho, founder of The Give and Grow and one of four winners of the 2026 Feminist Creator Prize. In our conversation, Olivia reflects on her lifelong relationship with sport, from being one of the only girls on the field growing up, to building programs that create safe and empowering spaces for young women to play, connect, and grow. We talk about how sport can shape confidence and leadership and create a sense of belonging, and why digital storytelling is such a powerful tool for challenging stereotypes about who gets to participate and thrive. So, hi, Olivia. I'm so glad you're here. You're one of four winners of the 2026 Feminist Creator Prize, which will be announced, or was just announced, I guess I should say, when this comes out on March 11th. What does this recognition mean to you at this moment in your creative journey? And maybe you can tell us a bit about that journey.
Yeah, so my name is Olivia Ho, the founder of The Give and Grow. We host workshops and events empowering young women through the love of sport. And this prize means a lot to me, really. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes as someone who's a business owner, as someone who is actively in their communities. And there are moments like these where it just kind of confirms that, like, you're on the right path. And so, you know, I'm never doing any of the things that I'm doing in my work for recognition or for prizes or for grants or anything like that. But when those moments come in and they fall into your lap, you know, through, you know, your community member support and people that are seeing the things that you're doing, it really creates a moment, I think, of just extreme gratitude where I get to kind of just stop amidst, you know, all the things that are going on and really recognize my journey, you know, as Olivia, as a founder of a business. And again, just someone who has been passionate about sport their entire life. And so when these moments come in, it becomes this really cool moment of gratitude and just, you know, thinking about how far I've come on this journey and how much more I have left to go.
As you referenced, you've been working with youth and sport for, I think, 15 years, you said in your form. But you also mentioned that you pivoted kind of from healthcare during the pandemic. Could you speak to that and also the power of sports and safe, empowering spaces for young women in that field?
Yeah, growing up, I played a lot of sports. I was always the one girl on the field, on the court, playing with all the boys. And I knew early on, you know, that I was different, that I didn't see a lot of my, like, you know, girlfriends that were playing sports with me. I was always playing with the boys. And I knew early on that, you know, sport was something that was really important to me. So I continued to play. I continued to be in those spaces and eventually ended up doing a undergraduate degree at McMaster University for kinesiology. And so I was really interested in the human body. I wanted to be a physiotherapist, maybe for the Toronto Raptors. And throughout my university career, really stayed integrated into youth sports at some capacity, whether it was volunteering for after school programs or working at sports camps throughout the summer. I really dedicated a lot of my free time to, you know, empowering the next generation of girls specifically through the love of sport. And so throughout my entire life, you know, as a teenager, as a young adult, and then working at the hospital into my adulthood, I still tried to find ways to connect to sport, which is where I found MLSC Launchpad, where I was one of their first staff to get hired to run all of their sport programming at their facility downtown Toronto. and was really focused on building out their all-girls programming for girls ages 6 to 18. So while working at the hospital, I would go from working at the hospital all day, you know, spend a couple hours in the evening at MLSE Launchpad on the court, hanging out with some of the youth. And during COVID, when the facility was closed, there was a lot of online Zoom programming for the, obviously wasn't the same. And so when I started my business in the Give and Grow and I had these, you know, physical little basketball planter pots that I was just kind of making for fun, I thought to myself, how do I bridge the young girls that I worked with at Launchpad and still keep them engaged at some capacity, even though the physical gym was closed? And so all the money I was getting from selling these basketball planters, I was pouring into these free community workshops where I would invite, you know, the young girls that I had known for the last 5 years working at Launchpad. And we would do workshops where they got to customize their own little basketball planter pot. We would talk about, you know, the power of sport, the lessons you can learn from the game of basketball, and how we can tie in plants with our own kind of personal growth and tie in some metaphors there. And so the first, I would say first 6 months or so was just really funneling all this, you know, extra income into hosting these workshops, and then started getting attention from, you know, Nike, Foot Locker, Adidas, Canada Basketball, all asking me to do workshops for their communities. And I thought to myself, like, okay, this could be a really cool, you know, side project. But it quickly turned into a moment where I had to quit my hospital job because of how busy I was. I quit my hospital job within, I think, about 6-7 months. It was really quick. And then from there, it kind of just took off. And since 2020, 2021, around that time, I've been able to host 134 workshops in 21 different cities all over the world, including Mexico City, Paris, LA, New York, Montreal, Toronto, and all the in-betweens. And we've impacted over 4,000 young girls and women through our workshops. And so a really, you know, cool moment, like I said earlier, you know, when you win these prizes and you get recognized, that you start to look at, you know, the numbers and the stats, and you're like, wait a minute, like, I've just kind of been going through and doing what I love every single day. And then you look at the impact and the impact report, and it becomes a really, again, cool solidifying moment where it's like, no, like, it's I deserve my flowers. My team deserves their flowers, the people that have been in my community, my circle. And so this is kind of for everyone that's been a part of this journey, and just not for me.
I guess the other piece of that is you won the Feminist Creator Prize this year. And that really is about, you know, the digital storytelling piece and the online piece. So why do you think, or why is digital storytelling such a powerful tool for shifting the story? And especially in this case about girls in sports?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in the last, I would say like 3 years, we've been in this kind of exponential growth when it comes to women's sports. And I think for the people who have always been in this space, you know, it's one of those moments of it's about time. But also in that same breath, it's like the people who have been doing these things, the athletes that have been, you know, putting in the work and navigating these new spaces have always been here, right? And the people who are maybe veterans in the space, you know, have been doing this work even when it wasn't trending or when it wasn't popular or wasn't what the popular opinion. And so I think it's a really cool moment right now where we have this, you know, catalyst moment where we can go in so many different directions. And it's really up to the people who have been doing that work in the spaces to, you know, hold people accountable, hold brands accountable, make sure that it's not performative. And I think that's where the storytelling piece comes in, where, you know, it can be obvious maybe to an audience when a specific brand is just putting on their logo or something when it comes to women's sports. But when you have people that are advocating for the stories of, again, the athletes, the women that are doing the things in their communities, it becomes a really strong tool to say, hey, yes, you want to be able to support with dollars, but how do you support with access, with you know, bridging barriers and communication to their audience? And what does that look like? And so I think that storytelling piece becomes a really integral part to the growth of women's sports as we continue to tell our stories, as the athletes start to tell their stories. There's really something interesting happening right now in the WNBA and the negotiations that they're having with the players associations. And you hear from the players, you know, the things that have been you know, not right with them in the last few years. And then they finally have a moment, they have a platform, they have, you know, this like spotlight on them to say, you know, what is it that we have been dealing with, you know, the past however many years? How do we use storytelling in our voices? And now that people are actually listening to us, to make a positive change and really just be this like, you know, carriers for the next generation. And I think it's a really cool moment to see, you know, with social media and with all the news coming out, I think we have such direct access to all these stories. And it's really about, you know, amplifying each other's stories and how do we hold, again, you know, the brands and the big companies accountable when it comes to sharing those stories so that, you know, our voices do get heard, the women's voices get heard, and maybe even, you know, the people who don't get heard and they don't have a voice, you know, being able to have people be advocates for those people is really important as well.
I think, you know, you're speaking up about especially girls in sports, but what stereotypes are you consciously trying to dismantle? Like, what are you coming at it with, you know, realizing that it's a tool for gender justice and equality? How do you bring that lens to your work?
I think for me specifically, as someone who is, you know, an Asian woman from Canada and understanding kind of the landscape of, you know, immigrant parents and how they've come to Canada, and really, you know, a lot of my friends in my community, we are like the first generation of women to be living, you know, in this society and living in this country where we have this opportunity again to, you know, what are the stereotypes when it comes to sport, when it comes to women, and typically, you know, who are the people that you see in those spaces? And so growing up, someone who was an athlete who played sport and wanted to continue to play sports, I didn't really have that representation for me. And even, you know, my parents really didn't push sport on me because they were, you know, immigrants coming to Canada and working and didn't really have the resources or the accessibility to say, hey, we want you to, you know, excel in basketball or excel in soccer. And so I had to, as a young kid, really be an advocate for myself. And so when I think about stereotypes and I think about the representation in sports, I didn't have any coaches or anything that looked like me. And so I didn't think that, you know, these specific roles in sport were possible. And I think the stereotypes now that I'm trying to break down is that, you know, sport is for everyone and every person, every color, every type of human being, and it has this ability to really shift, you know, your perspective when it comes to life, your life skills that you can learn from sport. And I think it really starts at that grassroots level where, you know, the more people that look like me or, you know, my peers or people of color that are not typically in these spaces, the more that we're empowering them to go into their communities and empower the youth that look like them as well. Like, they can see themselves in them. And I think that we're breaking down those stereotypes kind of in those small grassroots moments. It's not going to be this big performative thing that you're going to see on the internet. It's going to be in really those small moments of connection, I think, with the youth and, you know, the high fives and the girl chats and the things that don't have to do with sport. I think it's everything that's, you know, around the court and around the actual competition. It's been studied that, you know, girls don't play sport just for the competition part. They really like the social aspect. They love the community and the friendship. And so when you have role models and people that look like them that could show them, you know, the other side of sport that doesn't require, you know, trying to be a professional athlete, it really starts to break down the stereotypes of what it means to be someone that's working in sport or being an athlete on the court or all the actually different possibilities and, you know, the head offices, professional sports teams and things like that. So I think, you know, these small moments have become really important for breaking down stereotypes with every individual, you know, young girl that might see themselves in a position that never existed before.
I guess if you could redesign youth sports or the sports system and really think with the lens of equity at its center, you know, we say, all right, now what? It's shifting the story this season. What would you change? Like, how would you shift the story for youth sports and especially for girls?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to the kind of youth sports system, seeing a place and working at a place like MLSC Launchpad where the youth in this space come from underserved communities, what's interesting to me is sometimes the way that I think just in general, their parents might perceive sports. And so maybe it's not something that they grew up with. And so I think there comes a point where it's about the education piece and not just like, oh, the kids are going to go to the community center and play sports and they're going to have a good time. They're going to sweat it out. They're going to have fun with their friends. I think that there's a really deep layer when it comes to what sport can teach young children about life. And I think that at MLSC Launchpad, there's a really good direct kind of tie between, you know, the stuff that's happening on the court and the life skills that they can pull from that. So I think what's really important when it comes to kind of the youth and sports landscape is how do we explicitly, you know, tie in the life skills, explicitly tie in, you know, the confidence pieces, the grit pieces, the, you know, hard work and the things like that, where we're really tying them to everyday life and school work and jobs and careers, and what are those synergies so that education piece comes into play. I think what it really comes down to is really creating a safe space where young girls feel vulnerable enough but empowered enough to be able to play sport comfortably. And I think that comes with, you know, not only seeing role models on the court that look like them, but also having you know, allies and men who can understand the verbiage when it comes to coaching girls and how different it is. It's not, again, about the competition piece. It's about the community and the friendship building. And so I think there's also something to be said about, you know, training male coaches on how to speak to women in a different way and speak to the young girls, because there is going to be a different way and different approach that you give to young girls and young boys when it comes to sports. And so I think it really just comes down to creating this really safe space where the young girl is able to express themselves and, you know, both on the court and both off the court, and really making sure that environment allows them to grow in so many different ways. And that really starts with, again, the education piece and the kind of coaching piece of how do we coach the coaches to be able to make sure that women and young girls don't have a bad experience. If you talk to a lot of women now and in, you know, their 30s, their 40s, they can pinpoint the exact moment that they stopped playing soccer or stopped running track or what it was. And sometimes it is related to a male coach that they just did not get along with, maybe got spoken to in a specific way and immediately were kind of turned off by sport. And so I think there's all these little micro aggressions and little moments that I don't think a lot of coaches maybe realize that they're ingraining into like the future, you know, of these young athletes and how that stays with them for a long time.
All right, now what's the next step? I think we wrote to you and said Canada needs to take, but like each of us, what is something each of us, you know, a step each of us needs to take to achieve gender equity in sports? And, you know, whether that's with digital storytelling or however you see that happening.
Yeah, I think the next step that, you know, we as Canadians, we as Canadian women need to take in order to achieve gender equity in all forms, whether it's sports or careers or society in general. I think, as I mentioned earlier, these moments of opportunity for learning and for teaching, I think it really starts with the individual and their surroundings. If, you know, if I can impact a handful of people around me and get them to change their point of view when it comes to, you know, equity in sports and empowering women and and really educating them on that, then that becomes a ripple effect. If they can affect another five people, if those five people can affect another five people. So I think it really becomes a moment where, as long as we're amplifying each other's voices and our stories and continuing to fight for, you know, equity when it comes to all things, specifically when it comes to sports, I think there becomes a really cool amplification of our voices. There becomes a moment of just, yeah, conversation and opening up a conversations that maybe never happened before. And so all these little moments that we have that we can, you know, educate the people around us, I think they're really good moments for us to grow as individuals and to be able to teach to other people as well. So I think this next step is really, again, that storytelling piece, using our voices, using online social media and those platforms to really share our passions and our ideas and really putting things out into the world where it's ready to be perceived, which is a hard thing on its own, right? So I think this storytelling piece will continue to live on, and in the Give and Grow, it will continue to live on when it comes to women's sports. And I'm really excited to see this future of what, you know, Canadian sports and when it comes to equity looks like.
Thank you for helping shift the story on safety, leadership, justice, power, and rights. You can visit CanadianWomen.org today to learn more and stay connected. We believe everyone should be able to exist without fear of harassment or abuse. You can help make that a reality. Text SAFE, S-A-F-E, to 20222 to give $10 and support women, girls, and gender diverse people throughout Canada. Small actions can lead to big changes. We appreciate your support.